Welcome to episode 298 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on space and space travel. If you'd like to catch the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. You remember the vomit comet?
Yeah.
Yeah, you asked about it at one point. You're like, did the astronauts use that for training?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out the vomit comet is a name for any plane that does that.
the sine wave flight?
Yeah, the weird sort of roller coaster-y thingy. They're using it to give the people inside the plane zero G for as long as they can. And you go from zero G to some ridiculous many Gs to do it again and again and again. It tends to make people, well, vomit.
Hence the nickname, yeah. Yes.
It turns out that started in 1957.
Oh, crap.
And the first few of them were propeller-driven.
Well, I mean, yeah, 57.
Yeah, about then.
Yeah.
C something plane. Not a C and then some other letters and numbers.
No real good name.
Yeah, just... So one of the Apollo astronauts who was scheduled to be in the first manned flight for the Apollo program, he was on the vomit comet, and he dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, crap. Oh.
And I guess they must have popped it back in, because apparently he did it three or four times.
He's just prone to that?
I mean, well.
It sounds like a condition. Yeah, it just pops out every now and then.
He got replaced by Roger Chaffee.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Roger Chaffee and Gus Grissom and Ed White all died in a fire.
Oh.
It wasn't called the Apollo 1 mission at the time. Yeah. The mission director later called it that at request of the widows, actually.
Oh.
They decided that would be Apollo 1. There would be no Apollo 2 or 3.
Okay.
Apollo 4, 5, and 6 were all unmanned missions.
Okay.
Where they're testing various bits of hardware and how it does various procedures and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Apollo 7, we finally got humans in again. Took a year from Apollo 1 fire 1967 to Apollo 7 1968.
Okay.
Humans are back up there. Things went relatively well. The windows did fog up.
Yeah, but nobody died.
Nobody died. Oh, well, they need the windows for various things, including, get this, using the sextant.
Really?
Really. The first time I heard about that, I think it was the Gemini program, and it might have been early as Mercury.
Yeah.
And it was described as a backup navigation technique. So I don't know if they ever actually used it. But they kept practicing it, right?
Yeah. How do you adjust for... You're really high off the ground.
Yes.
Staring at stars
to
figure out.
Well, stars are really far away, so...
Okay. Still works. Wow.
They also tested the service module, which is the thing connected to the command module, which is where they're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much just a rocket. And, you know, it needs to turn on and off a bunch of times over the course of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're testing it, and I guess they didn't expect quite such a big fat jolt and hard acceleration. And one of them yells out, "Yeah, but damn it, dude."
You're kidding me. Ah, oh, super nerds.
Apollo 8 was going all the way to the moon and back.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, they didn't land or?
No, they just, they were working, right? They got to the moon, they did an orbit, they did a bunch of looking at candidate landing sites.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds like a good idea.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck in this world where we have Google Moon.
And GPS system, yeah. I know. Anyway, they're on the way back, and it's Christmas Eve, and one of them quotes from the book of Genesis, and the last thing he said, which I get a kick out of, is, "Good night, good luck, God bless, and Merry Christmas to all of you on the good earth."
On the good earth.
Yes. A moment of silence for our planet. Okay.
Actually, I thought we were ending.
No, we're done now. Okay. All right, Apollo 9. And this had to stick in their craw, the three guys doing Apollo 9, because they didn't go to the moon. They stuck around.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I would be so pissed. Wow.
But they did a lot of testing of the LEM, the landing thingy.
Mm-hmm. The L stands for landing.
They call it an LM on the websites now.
Oh.
There were a bunch of name changes and so forth. Oh, we covered this in an earlier episode, actually.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Apollo 10. Now, do you think it bothered the guys in 9? What they did was everything but land.
Oh, no. It's right there.
Yeah, I mean,
they got all the equipment.
Guy got in the limb. Oh, well, two of them get in the limb, and they fire the burn that gives them down to 9 miles above the surface. And then they fired other burns and rendezvoused with the other dude in the CSM and went home.
It's even worse than I thought.
I could spit on it.
Did they have enough fuel? Like, I wonder, because, who wouldn't want to just land? Wouldn't
be like, oops, sorry, Mission Control. We just happened to be walking on the moon.
What are they going to do? Come up here?
Yeah. Right, Apollo 11. Uh-huh. When we finally get on the moon, which we ended up talking about a lot on Monday. So I got curious about the Apollo computer.
Okay. Yeah, they keep saying, like, a cell phone has more computing power.
That's the fact. And I bumped into this talk by a guy who hates those kind of comparisons.
I like him already.
Right? Well, all right, so I got to be careful here because it was like a two-hour-long talk and I got 5 minutes. Oh. So what do you want to know about the Apollo computer?
Are you asking me?
No.
That's your 5 minutes?
This talk answered a couple of questions I've had before. Like, I've always wondered, you got a couple of tanks.
Yeah.
Full of your liquid fuel.
Right.
And you get to orbit. Now you're in free fall, 0G, microgravity, whatever you want to call it, right?
Right.
What's to prevent that fuel inside those tanks from sloshing around all over the darn place?
Ooh. Yeah.
That and what happens if you want to fire the dang things again?
There's a lot of, there would be sloshing.
So it turns out they do a maneuver called a jolt.
Huh?
They fire the thrusters just for a second so that all the momentum and stuff. On that sentence before. The momentum and motion makes the fuel slosh ever so gently. They call it settling back to the back of the tank. And once you're under thrust, it's no big deal. It's like having gravity. Everything pulls on that end.
That's important. Well, I have had cars that were out of gas if I was on a hill.
You know? Okay, and next, this one I was wondering about. I was reading a book called Seven Eves by Neal Stephenson's, and there's a point where they deorbit a chunk of something that got sent up. They didn't even want it.
Yeah.
Or her. But that...
Read the book.
But they slap this engine onto this thing, and it fires a little burn and deorbits it.
Yeah.
So, how do you do that? Like, if I asked you, hey, would you like to water ski by being pushed along with a hard pole 12 feet out in front of the boat?
Holy crap. I'm going to aim for no.
Turns out that was the computer that did this. What it would do, it was fire the engine at about 10% thrust. And then it had there was this little gizmo with like three gyros set at 90 degrees apart from each other.
Oh, okay.
Inside three concentric rings and inside a sphere.
Okay.
And then the computer got data on how that thing was moving around. Well, it wasn't moving, right? It's like the Apollo capsule is spinning around the gyros. And that tells you whether or not you picked up a spin.
Uh-huh.
Right? If your thrust is off axis at all, you're going to start spinning.
Yeah.
Which is not going to help with that aim the thrust in the right direction thing.
Okay.
So as soon as it starts detecting any kind of spin, it will move the nozzle to compensate.
Oh. Okay.
And then they ramp up to something like 94% or so. This thing is unbelievable for the time. 1969, at the time, computers filled up entire rooms.
Yeah.
There were a couple of them. There was one in the command module, and there was one in the lander. Same hardware, different software.
Okay.
Only weighed 32 grams.
Grams?
What? Grams? I know! Took up about a cubic foot of space and only required 55 watts.
That is not a room. And, wow.
Yeah.
Go NASA.
It could do about 100,000 instructions a second.
Okay. What does that compare to as far as the big room computer?
Well, this is one of the reasons they'll say things like your calculator is more powerful than the Apollo. Because it can do more instructions per second.
Right.
But it couldn't do things like handle the I.O. involved or the input output. You got inputs like Neil Armstrong working the control stick.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's happening with that spinny gyro thingy. And, you know, the temperature, the fuel mixture, maybe a radar plot, lots of inputs.
Yeah, yeah.
And outputs include all sorts of blinky little lights and messages on a screen and the engine. So it had some interesting challenges to handle. It was built with a single circuit, repeated over and over again. They used the three-input NOR gate.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Which apparently is enough, if you put them together right, to do every other logic circuit.
Yes. I hear it actually eliminates a lot of other complicated, you know.
Yeah.
You take all your logic, boil it down to that gate. What was it again?
this is the thing that gets me. I've always heard this about a NOR gate, right?
Yeah.
But he's saying the three-input NOR gate. And I've never seen a three-input NOR gate. I've only seen the two-one. Anyway, this is it's a very geeky subject, so let's move on.
but now I'm curious. That's okay. All right.
I didn't get a chance to look it up yet. I'll find out what a three-input NOR gate is.
Yeah, okay.
As God is my witness. It had about 5,500 circuits.
Ooh.
3,000 of which were integrated circuits.
Okay. Okay, circuit versus integrated circuit.
Well, integrated circuit is inside the material.
Okay.
It's made out of some layers of crystal and so forth.
Oh, okay.
We did entire episodes on this nonsense.
Yeah, was I paying attention?
No.
I mean, I was at the time.
I think I should have listened to a couple of episodes back because that was almost a month ago.
Yeah.
And it covered a lot of the trivia I can't remember about how they landed.
Oh, vacation, you devil.
It had a 15-bit word size.
Okay.
Yeah, modern.
15-bit.
Yeah, I know. Moderns are usually around 32, maybe 64 bits.
Yeah.
2,000 words of RAM, which is not a lot, but it had 36,000 read-only words.
Oh.
That thing was weird. It was like a bunch of magnetic rings that either had a wire in them or not to encode them. Talk about hard wiring.
Yeah.
Let's just get to the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
During the Apollo 11 landing, there were computer errors. Uh-huh. And the story I always heard that is that Neil Armstrong took over and heroically landed.
Right.
It, no.
What?
First of all, the problem. The computer would divide things up into jobs.
Right, right, right.
And then they had to timeshare resources.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, take turns. And there was a hardware thing that would watch the software. If anything was taking longer than 640 milliseconds without saying your turn, it would shut that down.
Oh, goodness. Oh, no.
It's someone else's turn.
Yeah.
There's a good reason for doing that. I mean, you could get an infinite loop on a particular process, and it never asks, hey, is anyone else waiting?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. That's not good. Seize up your whole system.
Absolutely.
And it could only hold, like, seven jobs at once. They were in their orbit. They'd already done this, make the closest approach 9 miles above the surface of the moon. Mm-hmm. Pretty close. And they'd finished firing their deorbit burn. We're on the way down.
Cool.
And then the LEM pitches upright, so now their feet are pointing towards the surface of the moon, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And the software picks up. Mm-hmm. Having to do this job of saying, okay, here's where we want to land versus here's our expected landing without firing the engines ever again.
Okay.
A pretty intensive job. Buzz Aldrin is asking, hey, can you give me a plot and continuously update it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice to be able to see what's going on.
Heck yeah.
Meanwhile, unbeknownst to anyone at all, the radar from the orbiting module, the command service module,
mm-hmm.
still is on. Its mission is to help with rendezvousing. It's still on, and for some reason there's a hardware bug, and the LEM keeps hearing, "I can't see anything. I can't see anything."
Yeah.
And that puts a little more load on it. So it was up to like 95% loaded, which means it is just barely holding on. So Buzz types in this command, "Give me this plot," and that puts another 10% on it. And now,
oh no!
Now the jobs start loading up and the computer does a restart.
Mm-hmm.
This is
what? All by itself?
Yes.
What?
No, there were,
I mean, yeah, good reasons.
Darn reasons to do that. And this is not a full-on restart. This is not like turn it off and turn it on again.
Yeah, yeah.
Bits of the software are restarted.
Okay, okay.
So it comes back on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz and Neil are like, "Oh, thank God." And then Buzz is like, "Where's my plot?" And so he asks for it again.
No! Didn't you learn?
Oh, no. That happened 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
They were still having that load from the stupid radar.
Yeah.
And so when the software got really busy, even with Buzz eventually was like, "It seems to happen every time I enter the command for the plot, so I'm not going to do that." But one of the reasons they knew they could go is because this computer sends about 100 numbers back to Houston continuously, where there's a whole team with another computer making it do about the same thing.
Well, a whole team. They also have slide rules. They
10,000 people. Computer screwing up. Here's my slide rule. And one guy was like, "Okay, it's rebooting bits of it every now and then, but it has not once lost the data it needs to land. So nice, let's go ahead and land." And then most of the landing software is working fine.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, so that's the Apollo computer and some of the ups and downs with it. I totally have a link to that talk. You should check it out. And otherwise, let's get out of here.
How long has it been?
Do not panic, my brother. I've got a checklist right here. Okay. Here we are. All it says is finish up 11.
Detailed notes, I see.
All right. I didn't expect to tell the story of Apollo 11, but it turns out the story of the Apollo 11 computer is pretty much the story of the mission, including the landing.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a bit of it wrong. Right? The first 3 computer errors were during the burn to deorbit. I should double check. I'm not even sure I got it wrong. But and that's when Gus was going, "Hey, where are we? Please update the plot." And the computer is going,
Yeah, I remember that.
And then they pitch over to do the part where they're trying to select their landing site. And I've heard so many different stories here. I know that one of them, Armstrong, looked at it and went, "No, those are boulders."
You want us to land where now? Yeah, yeah.
And the computer did do a couple more errors, so he decided to switch to the final phase early.
Okay.
In the final phase, he's controlling the thrusters.
Ooh.
The computer's not off. It's still paying attention to that magic spinny gyro thingy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the accelerometers and the radar and so forth.
Uh-huh.
That's important because just after he cleared the rim of the crater he didn't want to land on, and they start lowering it down, they get to a point where the thrust is kicking up stuff from the surface.
Uh-huh.
So now you can't see.
Oh, that sucks. Okay.
All you have is a thing called the 8-ball that tells you whether or not you're tilting, and another thing that tells you whether or not you're moving laterally, if you're drifting to the side in any direction.
Flying by instruments.
Yes, exactly. And so now they're poking down, and the probes, these little long, about a meter long sticks of metal designed to bend on touching things, bend because they've touched the moon.
Uh-huh.
A light turns on, and they turn off the engine in a hurry.
We're there!
And then they just drop down. Now, they're sitting there, and they're going to do a spacewalk. The original plan was we're going to wait 4 hours and not a spacewalk, a moonwalk. Do the moonwalk.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Right, okay. So they decided for various reasons, I don't know what they were, that they're going to do this as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It took Neil 4 hours to get ready. So it ended up, he climbs out, and he sticks a camera on the sort of a boom that he swings out and activates with a lanyard.
Oh, okay.
And then he walks down there, He mentions, gee whiz, the surface sure is powdery. That's right, Neil. That's why you couldn't see.
Okay. And then the famous line, right?
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And in the middle there, we defeat all the aliens. Thank you, Doctor Who.
All right, so after Apollo, well, there's more stuff that happened. They got back in, they fired back up, they rendezvoused, they went home. That, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Everybody's
Everything
alive.
Worked fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Apollo 11, there were six more Apollo missions that went to the moon.
Oh, okay.
And you got to wonder what happened on those.
I kind of do.
I think we'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.